Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Flying in for Chuck Oliver on the Chuck Oliver Show, but college football content never stops. 2 hours every single day, 52 weeks a year. It is why we always, here at the start of this hour, have your headlines. It is CFB 365.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, let's start with more great news when it comes to opening weekend college football games, as Heath Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta is the newest venue to announce that they are going to have full capacity for their opening weekend kickoff game, or in this case for them, games, because they're going to host two this year. They've got Alabama in Miami on Saturday afternoon. That's going to be a great appetizer for the night game that we're going to see in Charlotte between Clemson and Georgia. And then on Monday, we get to cap off the opening weekend of the first full week one of college football. Ole Miss and Louisville on that Monday night. This announced by the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. As Gary Stokin, the head of the Peach Bowl, says that the current safety measures will be in place.
Yeah, you love it. I mean, for all of us, every announcement like this is great news, whether we're going to any of these individual games. Just the fact that we have achieved enough as a country with regards to vaccination and just people having gotten through this last 15 months. They say we're over 50% vaccinated in the country now, and however it's happened, the numbers have come down to where this has become a very different, very manageable situation now compared to what we've had to deal with. So, yeah, love it. Fantastic. And you just hope everybody continues doing all the things that have allowed us to get there in the first place. And two interesting games. You know, you've got a Miami team that last year people kind of said, okay, they got a game with Clemson. Now let's see if Miami's back or not. And the answer was nope, still not back. Sooner or later, they have to eventually figure it out down there and get to being a championship, at least ACC-level championship team. I don't think they're ready for Bama, but if they're able to stand in with Bama for 60 minutes, if they at least show they can go toe-to-toe for a while, that in and of itself would be a pretty big statement when you look at what the ACC is beyond Clemson this year.
Well, and Heath, there's no guarantee, speaking of Miami, that they don't start the season off 0-2, because the following week, Appalachian State, who is a pretty good non-Power 5 program that is going to be coming into Coral Gables, I guess in this case, Miami Gardens, where they play, where the Dolphins play. But that's a chance that that could be a tough game for them week two as well.
Could be tricky, although you do wonder about App State playing in South Florida humidity that time of year, whether or not they may actually just melt on the sidelines, especially if they're having to wear black jerseys. But the Canes are a team that they've been a tease for a long time, and sooner or later you just think, even if they can never get the Broward-Dade Palm Beach County pipeline intact again, too many schools have got connections down there to ever completely rebuild it and keep schools from getting talent out of there. But if they could ever just harness the full power that they have of the area still, it's just no reason this program should not have been to the ACC title game but one time since they joined the conference. It's ridiculous.
All right, so we're going to stay in the state of Georgia because Valdosta High School, they have been in the news a lot this offseason, of course, for the wrong reasons. Well, they are picking former Tennessee assistant Shelton Felton to be their new head coach. He replaces, of course, the disgraced Rush Probst, who the school board down there decided to not bring him back, especially after the GHSA punishment that was levied against Probst and the program. Felton was part of Jeremy Pruitt's coaching staff in Knoxville. He was also fired, along with former assistant Brian Niedermeyer and Pruitt, for alleged recruiting violations. Prior to joining the Vols, though, Felton was a high school football coach in Georgia at Crisp County High School.
So you're getting somebody who has experience in your state and experience dealing with controversy. That sounds like a pretty good fit in both roles there for that. The Probst saga has just been bananas to follow for multiple years now, heck, more than a decade, over multiple states, multiple families, you name it, multiple everything with Rush Probst. So you get the feeling somehow or other this guy's going to pop back up, and I don't know who, I don't know where, but there's always somebody that says, I think he can win here, though, that's willing to compromise. And in the case of Valdosta, the history of that program, the success of that program, there's no reason they should have felt that that was a path they needed to go down. So we'll see whether this one works out better.
All right, final headline. The Big 12 distributing about $345 million to their 10-member schools, according to figures gathered by the Associated Press. This works out to about $34.5 million per school, according to their commissioner, Bob Bowlesby. This is about $50 million short of what it was supposed to be this year. This, of course, due to the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic. This is the second year in a row that the conference revenue lesser than the previous year.
Yeah, the Big 12, of course, does not have a conference network. They are the only conference now at this point of the Power Five that does not have a conference network. And because of Texas, because of the Longhorn Network, they're all kind of doing their own thing. And so if you're Oklahoma, you can do a supplemental deal and make some money for yourself off of your third-tier sports. But for some of these other schools, the Iowa States of the world, that don't have that kind of resource, not having a conference network, you've got to think, is a problem here. Because even when the conference network for the SEC was showing nothing but old reruns of SEC Storied and Paul Feinbaum for 21 hours a day or whatever, that revenue from the cable systems was still coming in. There wasn't any break for the fact that there was a pandemic going on. You still got your cable bill in June. And that's the thing that I think if you're the Big 12, you have to look at and say, there's no answer to the puzzle, but the fact that the other four, although the Pac-12's is a spectacularly ineffective network, it still is at least some guaranteed revenue. The fact that they all four have it and you don't, that was not good timing when everything fell out this past year with regards to any kind of attendance, any kind of revenue from, you know, game day compared to what it normally is. That's where those conference networks really help some of these schools. All right, there you go. There's CFB 365. Coming up, we are going to check in with one of the new emerging voices. There's one of the cool things about where we are right now is that you, if you have a voice and you want to be a commentator on anything, really, you can put it out there into the world and you can see if you can find an audience. And coming up here on the Chuck Oliver Show, we're going to talk to one of the emerging voices of college football in the South. That is straight ahead. Keep it right here.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Keith Klein and for Chuck Oliver today on the show. And we're now joined by Jake Crane. And maybe you know that name, maybe you don't. Maybe you know the J-Boy Show. The J-Boy Show has emerged over the last year as something I was not familiar with. I started seeing some friends, guys like Mike Morgan, who does play-by-play for the SEC Network, Chris Doering and others, going on this show. I said, huh, okay, that's interesting. New guy on the scene here and making some noise. And we said, let's get him on the Chuck Oliver Show, talk to one of the newer voices of college football in the South. Jake, how are you, man?
Hey, Heath, I'm doing great, man. I appreciate that intro. We've been working hard, and it's been growing, and just trying to give people a place where they can go get informed SEC sports talk without politics and stuff like that, man. It's been going great. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and again, you can check it out, the J-Boy, that's just the letter J, thejboyshow.com or the J-Boy Show on Twitter if you want to find Jake's content. For those, you kind of started a little bit. For those who don't know about it, though, just kind of explain what you're doing.
Yeah. Definitely, man. Well, I coached college football for 9 years, five at the Division I level, and kind of started this on a whim, and it blew up. But really, you know, we cover the whole SEC, baseball, basketball, football. We go a little bit outside as well. I mean, we just had on Hugh Freeze, Mike Leach, Shane Beamer. You know, we've had Chuck on the show, obviously, Feinbaum, everybody. And you know, we really kind of scour it and talk about current events. We got a YouTube channel. It's the J-Boy Show. It's doing really well. I kind of do not hot takes, you know, but just kind of my opinion on current events in the SEC. And now, man, it's growing like a weed. Just had David Pollack on talking a lot of Georgia. I've got Georgia doing really well this year. I think this is finally the year. But now, man, we chop it up. And you know, it's probably a little bit different than what you know, used to hearing or the audience is used to hearing. We get pretty in-depth as well. So, no, it's been a fun time.
I saw you came out with your ranking of SEC coaches mm-hmm. today, and I got to say that one that got my attention was on the new hire side. You went a little bold with the new hire on Shane Beamer at number two because I know CBS Sports, for example, literally put him 65 out of 65, just basically mm-hmm. saying, hey, we don't know. He hasn't been a head coach. He hasn't been a coordinator. We're putting him at the bottom of the pack. You went with Harsin, Beamer, Heupel, and then Clark Lea in that order. What made you go that way?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously it's circumstantial. Your resources dictate your ability in most cases and your ceiling. And, you know, I look at Shane. I've had Shane on the show, and he hasn't been a head coach yet, and I can understand the argument against it. It's a logical position. But, you know, I think he's the perfect fit at South Carolina. You know, he was there when they were having success. He knows the lay of the land. They were landing recruits like Alshon Jeffrey, Jadeveon Clowney, and he gets it. He's been groomed for this, whether it's out at Oklahoma. He's been around the conference, been exposed to a lot of different things, different ways to do things, and obviously being the son of Frank Beamer, he really gets what the head coach's job is. And even if you ask him, you know, he's still figuring himself out as a head coach, and that's the thing I like about Shane. He's transparent, and the kids love him. And then when you compare it to Brian Harsin, obviously it's a lot easier to win at Auburn and South Carolina. I like the Brian Harsin hire at Auburn. They went outside the box, which if you keep up with Auburn at all, you know as well as I do, they really don't do that a whole lot. But then you look at Tennessee, and listen, Josh Heupel, going through this past year, he was getting on thin ice at UCF. And if you look at the situation in Tennessee, the NCAA sanctions are coming. They weren't going to get Jamie Chadwell. They weren't going to get Billy Napier, some of these young guys that have built equity at other places. And it's going to be tough for them. I think that's a stopgap hire there. And then Clark Lea at Vanderbilt, you know, no offense to him. It's just really tough to win there, especially now. And I don't see a ton of success there, and it's a tough gig anyway. But, no, Shane was probably the most boldest one on that new hire side. That, and again, you know as well as I do, with these rankings, somebody's going to be upset. But that's kind of my line of thinking there.
And meanwhile, when it comes to the veterans, you know, no shock as to who's at the head of the line there with Saban. And I imagine you're getting some pushback, though, on the fact that you've got Lane at number four. Now, it was a nice first year, probably a better first year than people anticipated. Mm-hmm. But still, you got him ahead of Orgeron. You got him ahead mm-hmm. of a guy like Mike Leach that's obviously had a long career at a lot of places, even if there's some questions about how he'll work in the SEC. You're buying big time on Lane, though.
Yeah, you know, I think Lane has learned from the past, and people forget, you know, he went to USC and they were on probation. I mean, it's really tough to fight with one arm tied behind your back at Tennessee. I think there were mistakes made on both sides. I don't think it was a good fit with that administration. But he goes down to FAU and totally turns that program around offensively. He's one of the best minds, and I think he's figuring out how to be a head coach and be well-rounded. I mean, he's got Jeff Levy there as an OC. He's hired really well around him. That Ole Miss personnel on defense was about as bad as it gets. Them in Arkansas is really bad outside of Vanderbilt, which they struggle anyway. But they've added some pieces. And I just like what Lane's going. I like the momentum. I think he understands social media and this new generation as well. I think he's been on the forefront of that. And I think his career is going to continue to ascend. And I think, you know, what if you put Lane Kiffin at LSU with those resources, or Florida with those resources at a perennial power? Because this is a guy that Nick Saban knows is a problem. He's one of the few people that Nick Saban will tell you this guy. Look at what Ole Miss did to Alabama last year offensively with the personnel that they had. And I expect big things from him. I don't know how much longer he's going to be at Ole Miss. I think he's going to end up being in a perennial place. Mike Leach at Mississippi State. Listen, it's one thing to do it in the Pac-12 and the Big 12 running that offense, but it's another thing to do it in the SEC. I know he's still got to get his guys in there, but I don't see it as a great marriage. And I've had Coach Leach on. I like Coach Leach a lot. You know, he actually invented the term air raid, which he talked about in our interview, but it's going to be tough at Mississippi State, especially with what Lane's doing at Ole Miss. And Ed Orgeron, here's my thinking on that. Ed Orgeron won a national championship. I understand that. So did Gene Chizik. And then he got fired 2 years later. So I want to see what Ed's going to do this year, coming off a bad year last year. And I understand the pandemic, because if you look around the league, Keith, there's no coach really on the hot seat. Maybe Ed a little bit if they have a bad year, which is really rare. I think Ed's going to be more of a one-hit wonder, even though I think LSU's not going to have a bad year this year. But I think, you know, what if you put Lane Kiffin at LSU? I think they'd have a lot more success.
Jay Crane with us from the Jay Boys Show here on the Chuck Oliver Show. The one that I think maybe people, and I'm not saying just you, I think we all maybe underestimate is Stoops. You got Mark Stoops at number 7. I just think the ability he and his staff have shown to consistently find guys and develop them into first-round NFL prospects that are coming from places that, on paper, they shouldn't be able to get these guys. I mean, look, they just had a first-round linebacker that they found in Georgia. They've been able to go to Ohio and get kids. The job he's done in making them consistent, and the job he's done in just showing that they can develop talent, he is a perfect fit for that job. I don't know if he's a perfect fit for a big job. Maybe he wouldn't be as successful, but the model he's done at Kentucky really impresses me.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Heath, you know, as contradictory as it sounds, I got Kentucky finishing second in the East this year just for that reason. You know, they picked up Trevin Wallace last year, a kid who I'm really high on out of the state of Georgia. Kind of not got lucky, but really did their homework and ended up getting him at the end. And I think they're going to have some success this year now that they're going to actually throw the Ford pass. Somebody told them they could do that, which will open up that offense a little bit, especially if they can get Bo Allen to play at the level that I think he can play at. But, you know, it really gets mixed and jumbled in the middle, Heath. I mean, there's 15 different ways to look at it. When I looked at it from the scope, number one, I love what Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky. I think you're exactly right. It's the perfect fit for him. I just don't know if you put him at a Florida or an LSU, how well he does kind of in that backyard. But he's done a really good job of building Kentucky up. NFL scouts will tell you he's built it from the inside out. And to be honest with you, there for a little bit last basketball season, I thought maybe Kentucky was going to win more football games this year than Kentucky did in basketball, but they won a couple at the end. So, look, there's arguments around it, and it's the league's so good and the head coaches are so good. It's tough to be all right and tough to be all wrong, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a tricky time to rank those guys for sure, because, I mean, even your number 10 is Eli Drinkwitz, and I get it off of 1 year, but a year from now, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if you moved him up 4 or 5 spots very easily.
No doubt.
Could see you doing that. It's Jay Crane again. You can see and hear him talking about a whole bunch more stuff at thejboyshow.com and on Twitter at thejboyshow to hear the podcast and everything he's got going on. Jake, I appreciate you making some time for us today here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Heath, I appreciate it, buddy. Y'all do a great job, and would love to come back, and y'all stay safe out there.
There you go. Jay Crane checking in with us. And one of the things I know he talked about, we didn't have enough room to really get into it any further here, but kind of ties into something also that we were talking about in the CFB 365 with the news about Mercedes-Benz being the latest stadium to allow full crowds. We are seeing right now how big a deal fans mean when it comes to all sports, but especially college football. You just look around right now. You look at what we saw at the PGA Championship on Sunday. You look at what we've seen in some of these NBA arenas that, if they're not full all the way, at least have fans back in them. And you're seeing players play differently. I'm just looking forward to, you know, it's one thing to have had 20,000, 25,000 people in the stands last year, and people are supposed to be separated and everything else. I'm just so interested to see what it looks like
to once again have crowd noise be a factor in games and people able to feed off those crowds. It's going to be a lot of fun coming up this fall, and that's another one of the things I know Jake and the guys have been talking about. Coming up, we take a look at the college talent from the pro perspective. Keep it right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Joining us now here on the Chuck Oliver Show, Anthony Tresh. He is with Pro Football Focus. He is their senior college analyst. If you're not familiar with Pro Football Focus, you should be. They do a great job on a lot of different things. And one of the things that they do a bunch of, if you're saying, well, now, wait a minute, Pro Football, I thought this was a college show. They do a great job of breaking down the college talent as well, because, of course, those are guys that are eventually going to be in the pros. And again, Anthony Tresh is our senior college analyst, and he joins us now here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Anthony, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate you making the time. I saw you guys have been coming out with your top 10 players in the current college game by position lists. And I'm curious, just as you put them together, you know, year to year, anything in particular that stood out to you about this year's crop?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's definitely some interesting things kind of stand out there. I mean, one that wasn't so interesting and obvious was Alabama absolutely dominating, as they always do. Obviously, quarterback's a little bit shakier this year just because there is some unknown there with Bryce Young. But obviously, he has the talent and the tools there to become something special there. So that was really no surprise. One of the surprise teams that kind of came out of this was Indiana. I mean, typically you think Indiana, you think basketball. But, you know, they actually had placed four players within a top 10 in a position, and one who's performed arguably at a top 10 level. They didn't quite make it this year because of a down year last year, and that was tied in Peyton Hendershot. So they're kind of a program that's up on the rise. But, you know, looking at this, you know, the whole thing as a group, you know, comparing year to year, I will say my biggest takeaway from doing these is that this cornerback group is incredibly stacked. I mean, it was a tough time picking 10 cornerbacks to really rank, because in any other, you know, a few years ago, a guy that's maybe in 2025 this year probably would have been in the top 10. I mean, it is really one of the most talented, you know, cornerback groups that I've ever seen in college football. I remember a couple of years ago, after the 2019 season, writing an article talking about how rare that true freshman group was. And those true freshmen now are juniors. You know, Derek Stingley Jr., the LSU cornerback, leading the way there. So, I mean, that's probably my biggest takeaway by position. This cornerback group is just absolutely loaded.
Yeah, between him and Eli Ricks, two of the top three corners in the country, both playing for LSU, which has to have Tiger fans saying, how in the world was our defense looking the way that it was last year if we've got this kind of talented corner?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about that. I mean, I think there was just a little bit of a philosophy mishap early on. I mean, that really does explain that Mississippi State loss. You know, I remember saying after that, you know, not to really, you know, I would take the KJ Costello 600 and something yards with a grain of salt. You know, it was just mostly a bunch of defensive mishaps by LSU. And I think it was more of a system issue than it was a talent issue. I mean, the talent's absolutely there. I mean, like you said, Eli Ricks, Derek Stingley Jr., I think this could be a historic outside cornerback duo. That's how talented these two are. And then they add a transfer, too, with Mike Jones, the off-ball linebacker from Clemson, who's shaky against the run, but, you know, those LSU or, yeah, those Clemson, you know, that defense over there, I mean, they don't really stack the off-ball linebackers. It's just kind of a shoot against the run there. But I think there's just talent all the way around, too, even on the defensive line. That's a really talented group there, and there's also a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And I think if Miles Brennan can stay healthy, I think that's going to be a sneaky, dangerous team. You know, I'm not going to predict them. I wouldn't lay a bunch of money. I wouldn't bet the farm on it. But it would not be too surprising to me if they somehow ended up pulling off and winning the SEC, because there's definitely talent there on both sides of the ball. And I think Arik Gilbert hopefully coming back, I think that would be a big part in that.
Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus, our senior college analyst here on the Chuck Oliver Show. You can follow him on Twitter, PFF_Anthony is the handle there. So if cornerback is just preposterously loaded, where is the thinnest group this year that you saw your top 10 of proven players that kind of said, okay, not a great year for this?
Yeah, I would say probably the interior defensive line. I mean, that was probably one of the more difficult ones to really rank there. I think there is some talent there. But I think it's going to get shuffled out a lot. And I think running back, that was probably 1-2. And I think running back is just more unproven. I would say those two really stand out as unproven positions. You know, with the interior defensive line, we had Haskell Garrett, the Ohio State product there, number one. Jermaine Lowell, Arizona State. He kind of had a breakout year on a small sample. The defensive scheme tweaked him a little bit, playing more three tech as opposed to traditional defensive end. That's where he's thrived best in past his career, and he thrived there this past season. And then after that, it gets a little bit weaker. And so I would say those two positions are a little bit weaker. But I wouldn't say, you know, they're just absolutely bad compared to past years. You know, quarterback is also one that really stands out. That was difficult to really rank, even though, I mean, we were starting to see some of these 2022 early mock drafts and, you know, 5-6. I even saw one with 7 quarterbacks in round one. It's just a lot of unproven guys. And so I would say running back, interior defensive line, and then followed by quarterback. Those are the ones that are kind of the most, you know, the most question marks surrounding that rankings there.
When it comes to quarterback, it sure looks like you're really intrigued by what Emory Jones is going to be at Florida.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I really do think that if I had to pick, you know, I'm not saying he is going to be, you know, the Joe Burrow, the Zach Wilson of 2021, but if I had to pick one guy, I would definitely pick Emory Jones because, I mean, you see it on the limit of reps that we've seen from him over the last 2 years. I mean, he is going to be a fantastic dual threat quarterback, and he is with one of the best offensive minds in college football with Dan Mullen, who's finally getting that dual threat guy he hasn't really had at Florida. We haven't really seen him have one since Mississippi State. But Emory Jones, I mean, we've seen him do it on the ground from time to time. The arm talent he's flashed, I mean, it's legit. I mean, our lead draft analyst, Mike Rayner, he's really high on what he's seen from him as a passer. He really likes what he sees there. I would think the biggest thing that would maybe stop him from being that big breakout star is the ecosystem. I think the play calling is going to be great. I think they're going to create a lot of open throws for him, and I think he has the talent to kind of, you know, bring others up with him. But, I mean, still, there's really no proven receiving threats, you know, to really kind of take advantage of to tap into. And so that is a little bit of a concern there. But I am definitely bullish on Emory Jones' future, that's for sure.
When you look at these guys and you're trying to size them up for what their ability is, but you're also looking at them from a pro perspective, I'm curious. Your number two offensive tackle is Darian Kennard from Kentucky. That's a program that has had great success on the offensive line the last few years, but some of the guys aren't necessarily viewed as high-level pro prospects, even though they've been terrific college players. How do you differentiate between the guy who's really good on the college level and the guy who, for whatever reason, is that but also is the pro prospect?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. And I think that's why in all of these rankings, I make sure to mention in the intro that this has nothing to do with pro potential. This is mostly just guys that are doing their job within their system at the best of their abilities. And one that really comes to mind is, you know, Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback for UCF. He made the top 5 quarterbacks in there, but it's going to be very interesting because he's changing offenses. Gus Malzahn is on now, the former Auburn head coach, now leading the way with Jeff Heupel over at Tennessee. And the Heupel offense, I mean, it was pretty much just go ball city. I mean, he just threw straight down routes down the sideline, made it very simplistic from a reading perspective. didn't put the ball in harm's way a lot, but it was because of the offense by design mostly. He still had some pretty good, you know, moments. And I'm not trying to, like, discount him. Obviously, we had him as a top-five quarterback for a reason, but I almost wanted to put an asterisk there just because I'm not really sure how he's going to perform outside of that system. The talent's there. He does have a strong arm. He threw the ball with excellent touchdown field. And like I said, took good care of the ball, even though it was a simplistic offense. But it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of goes to this other offense. And from a pro perspective, I think that's why we're not really, you know, hearing about him being hyped up with all these other 2022 prospects. That's a very good point. I mean, making these rankings, none of it really has to do with pro potential. It's just all about what they can do at the collegiate level, the value they're generating for their program right now, and what we expect them to do in 2021.
Yeah, there's another guy on that list too, Derek King. Not only are there questions size-wise about whether or not he's a pro prospect, but then also he's coming off of a knee injury. So, you know, trying to size up what a guy like that is going to be versus what he has been gets even trickier. And then you got a kid like Clemson's new quarterback that, you know, the flashes are there, but we've barely even seen.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, and I'd even throw Sam Howell, who came in at number two on this list, as someone to concerns when you're talking about evaluating pro potential, just because that offense that Phil Longo has over there. I mean, it's another one of those college-y simple offenses, you know, chock full of RPOs, play action shots downfield. He's another one I'm going to keep an eye on, even though the offense won't change a whole lot this year. He's losing all the supporting cast with Amy Brown, Daz Newsome, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter. So it will be interesting to monitor there. But, I mean, again, the talent's there for him to be something special. And, yeah, with DJ, the Clemson quarterback, you know, he's very you know, we had him here at number eight. And like you said, we've seen the flashes, but we just haven't seen it enough. So I couldn't justifiably, you know, really put him any higher than eighth. But I think he has a wider range of outcomes than anyone. And I really wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if the end of 2021, you know, we're sitting down and me and my guy, Seth Galina, who's also a college analyst here at PFF, kind of helped, you know, draft up these rankings. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the number two guy. I don't think he's going to touch Spencer Rattler, but definitely the talent's there. I mean, he has an absolute rocket for an arm. You know, there were some bouts of inaccuracy there in those couple starts he had. But, you know, some of it was a mechanical issue that I think is pretty easy. Yeah, I think they probably can clean that up just a little bit pretty easily. And so I think he's another one where I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, top three by season's end.
Anthony Tresh with us for a couple more minutes here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Again, he's Pro Football Focus's senior college analyst, and they just came out with their top tens at a lot of different positions over the last few days. So we're taking a look at some of them. I'm curious, and this probably ties in more to the actual pro time when it's time to evaluate guys. What do you do with players like a Matt Corral, who last year became a much more effective player with Kiffin? He'd shown good things the first 2 years, but we've seen with Kiffin different styles of quarterbacks, you know, even going back to Jonathan Crompton at Tennessee, guys that are not necessarily pro-level prospects can look much better with Kiffin running the show. How do you then size up what a guy really is when you try to figure out whether or not he actually become a legit pro prospect?
Yeah, and, you know, Matt Corral, he's definitely – we had him at six on the rankings, but he's one that I'm keeping a close eye on just because I'm really not sure how to feel about him because of, for that reason. I mean, he is with one of the better systems in that game against Arkansas where he threw six interceptions, one of the worst games that we saw last year from a grading perspective, to no surprise. That one was really concerning, but at the same time, you do see these moments where he can manipulate defenders with his eyes, with his shoulders, and with his movements there, and that's something rare to see a college quarterback do effectively. I mean, some NFL quarterbacks have trouble doing that, and he did it on the regular last year for Ole Miss, and that's something that really kind of helped us kind of spot him there in the top 10. But at the same time, you know, it's all about how much is it really the system. And so he's one that I would not be surprised if he slips down a little bit this next upcoming season. And you know, I'm going to be very curious if he does match the season, what the talk's going to be like for the draft. I think, you know, yeah, I think he would be getting a lot of draft hype. You know, he does have some alluring traits, but that would be the entire talk is, you know, was it the offense or was it him himself, kind of like what we had with Mac Jones this past year at Alabama?
And last thing for you, Anthony, if Emory Jones is kind of your guy that's sort of the watch list guy on the offensive side, who's the defensive equivalent to that? Doesn't have to be a specific position, just somebody on that side of the ball that you feel like maybe could explode onto the scene this year.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely an interesting question. I think off the top of my head, one that really comes to mind is Kobe Whiteside, the nose tackle from Missouri. Injury's gotten in the way of the season this past year. But, you know, he had some of the best production we've ever seen from a guy that played as much, you know, zero technique as he did back in 2019 in the SEC. I mean, he was on the level of Javon Kinlaw and Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, those guys are now succeeding in the NFL. And so I think, you know, he's one to keep an eye on. Boye Mafe, the edge defender from Minnesota, we haven't been able to get a full, you know, season's sample from him, but he's played, you know, just pretty much a full season's length over his entire career. And, I mean, his production has been off the charts, you know, a near elite production level there. And he's just an insane athlete, very explosive. And I think as soon as we get a full season out of him, I think he has a chance to put up, you know, monstrous numbers, and everybody will know who Boye Mafe is. So those are the two that really come to mind there.
Anthony Tresh, you can see his work at PFF.com. That's Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. And again, follow him on Twitter, PFF underscore Anthony, the handle there. Anthony, I appreciate you making some time for us here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right, coming up, we have got your closing argument. You know, it's one thing to talk, but you got to walk the walk. And at least one guy currently working as an SEC AD, something happened yesterday that kind of drives home. He didn't actually do that. We'll explain coming up here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I would say something else is there about a guy that decides to opt out. We're going to see guys do that in college. We saw it last year. Ja'Marr Chase did it last year. Okay, it's a COVID year. If that starts to happen regularly, I'd have the same concern about a college guy. Other NFL scouts, why did you, and let's call it, let's stop calling it opting out. They quit on their team. That, of course, the voice of Chris Landry from earlier in the program. And it will be interesting this year to see whether or not there is a change in how things are handled. I think last year, under the extremely unusual circumstances everybody was working with, you had a lot of patience from everybody involved, for just anybody who was willing to try and deal with this in the first place. But this year, if somebody decides around Halloween, yeah, you know what, team's 4-4, best case scenario, we're going to some mediocre bowl game I'm going to probably skip anyway, so you know what, I'm going to blow this donut shop. I don't think it's going to be handled the same way with regards to how the NFL will feel about it, fans will feel about it. I think it's going to be a very different vibe this year, and I don't know that guys are going to want to do that either. You know, it's one thing when you think, hey, by leaving, I get to do stuff like see my family. I get to do stuff like go where I want to go and not have to constantly be getting swabs stuck up my nose all the time. This year, with everything restricted, I think that the life that these guys are used to of a more normal routine on campus will probably make it less likely that they're as eager to get the heck out of there. All right, it is time for your closing argument here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
With offices in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Tennessee, basically wherever you can hear this show, you will find the great folks at the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. So, a scheduling announcement yesterday got my attention, and it's not because of how big a deal it was, but because of how big a deal it wasn't. UCF announced a home-and-home series with Florida Atlantic starting in 2022. Now, the reason I found that amusing was because of what the Knights AD said 2 years ago. Danny White, who was named the AD at Tennessee earlier this year, decided that he needed to get into USF's business for their decision to schedule two-for-one deals with programs like UF, Alabama, and Miami. He didn't like it. And this is a direct quote from Danny White at the time. Quote, "It's a precedent I don't like being set in our conference for schools to start doing a lot higher volume of two-for-ones. We've been successful historically of getting home-and-homes with Power 6 opponents, and I'd like to see our opponents, our conference peers, continue to do that as we." So Danny White wasn't content to just run his own business. He thought he needed to run USF's business in addition to UCF's business. He also tried to basically PR maneuver Florida into giving him a home and home, which Florida had no intent of doing, because why would they? Florida doesn't need UCF for anything. Florida did do a two-for-one deal with USF, and he didn't like it. Well, UCF has Louisville and Georgia Tech coming to them in 2022. Those are the end of previously existing contracts. After 2022, the only Power 5 conference opponent they have, period, that they have a home-and-home set up with, is North Carolina. Meanwhile, since those comments, USF has added Notre Dame to the list of teams that are coming to Tampa as well. So again, that's Alabama, Miami, Florida, Notre Dame coming to Tampa, North Carolina coming to Orlando. Look, White's got every right to do whatever he wants with the program he runs, but his criticism of USF for doing what they felt was best for them came from a place of unearned arrogance. He talked tough on future scheduling, and he couldn't back it up. Now, since he's arrived at Tennessee, what's he done? Well, he's repeatedly made references to, quote, the negativity of our fan base, and suggested that fans should text their friends when you're upset rather than vent about the losses on social media. Well, since Danny White seems to like giving others advice, I've got some for him here. Win in football. Win in football. Do so soon. Do it with your hand-picked coach, Josh Heupel. If you do, you won't have to tell fans what to do about negativity because they'll be happy. Lecturing football on the subject will go over about as well as your decision to demand Florida play you home and home when they had offered you a two-for-one that would have started with you going to Florida to begin 2022. And instead, you wind up settling for going to Florida Atlantic that year instead. With offices in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Tennessee, basically wherever you can hear this show, you will find the great folks at the law offices of Alexander Shinara and Associates. Dan Matthews joins me now here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Yeah, and especially, too, at a place like Tennessee, that you've got to give that fan base credit, Heath. The fact that they have not literally run from the hill or for the hills with this program over the last 20-plus years has got to tell you they're dug in and they feel that, you know what, we're going to pay it off now and then we're going to enjoy it down the road. And God bless them for it, because there are not a lot of people, a lot of fan bases who would stick and stay like they have. So good for them. But yeah, probably I would say the difference between Danny White and Nick Saban is I think that at least Bama fans were willing to listen to Nick Saban at the beginning because, oh yeah, he had won a national title a few years before at LSU. Danny White probably need to get the hardware first. I'm fully.
Well, Danny White would tell you they did win a national title. They had a parade and everything.
That's true. Touche, Heath. Great pull by you right there. A point for you, or as Chuck says, a helmet sticker for you today. I'm going to go ahead and take on the local establishment politics-wise in certain states, because the name, image, and likeness thing, that's great. Most people around this part of the country are getting it right. Gambling. If you're in a state that has not done it right yet and has not found a way to be able to pass gambling, get it done. All right? I think that this is a situation now that so many of us are trying to say, oh, the moral implications. Oh, it makes us unsafe. It doesn't make you any more safe or less safe because you have people who are able to put a couple of bucks on a college football game every Saturday. And for those of you out there who say, well, Dan, some of these guys can get to some of these players, it's so mainstream and so regulated now, you're not going to have a Boston College situation. For the states that have still not done it, as they say, get with the times, let's go.
Yeah, there are states like Kentucky and South Carolina that haven't, while states right next door are offering betting. At this point, all you're doing is voluntarily shorting yourself tax money you could be making for your state. You're not stopping the trend. The trend is very clear. Hey, that is today's Chuck Oliver Show. Thanks to Dan and David. I will see you one more time tomorrow.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I
I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.